sometimes during the time of being here, questions do emerge. They might arise from the talks, instructions, your experiences, reflections, areas of interest, resolved, unresolved in the day-to-day life. And you're very much invited to come to take a seat, and then the inquiry gets underway. Remembering any point that one can say thank you to bring it to a close, either the person who has come up or myself. And after the thank you, a couple of shared minutes of silence together, meditation, reflection, and then another invitation. And so we move back forward, so to speak, from inquiry to silence, silence into the inquiry. Remembering the listening as well, and sometimes the persons who is speaking, the voice is relevant for us, it's appropriate for us, it deserves, requires our full attention, and in that full attention, perhaps some insights and understanding really emerge for all, and that's very much a feature. The other evening, the inquiries were both from one gender. So, encouragement this evening is for the other gender, initially. So, if you can't recall, because it might seem a long time ago, two men came up first with the inquiry, so a woman to start. Yes, sir. Well, you're extremely invited, but firstly, I'd like to extend the invitation to the women, because 2 days ago, two men, so we're always a little being politically correct with gender balance. I think that's the language. But yes, anyone wishes to. Whoever. And as always with the recordings, I record, it's in the public domain, but if you prefer not, it will not.
I can decide after.
You can decide after, but you may have to remind me. So you'd like to decide after?
Stressing anyway. It's okay.
Quite sure I'm, obviously. Yeah. All right. What would you like to touch upon?
Actually, it's like two subjects, but maybe they can become one.
Can you voice it? Two subjects, but they may become one.
One is about a subject that Lila brought up yesterday, about the choosing thing.
Choosing, yes.
Choosing. Mm. And the other one is about attachment.
Attachment. All right.
And maybe they can become one question.
Oh, why not?
If I will try.
All right, then.
About the choosing.
The choosing, yes.
In all what Lila brought up, mm-hmm. What I understood in myself in the end of it is about not like no choosing, but no choosing of the ego. And somehow I still believe that there is like one clear place inside of us.
Yes.
We can call it God, the Buddha in us, or whatever, the clear part in us. Like maybe this is the part that we're aiming to when we sit into meditation. That when the choice comes, that's what I thought.
Carry on.
I question about it. That's when the choice comes from this part, like this is. I don't know, the truth, like, this is like the clear
thing.
Mm. And usually the choice not coming from this part because all of the things and the ego and the condition, And what I understood from the conversation that we had here with Leila is that like there is no, like we are not choosing. There is no us that's choosing.
Right.
And I have this question about maybe there is a part of us that can choose, that can really.
Alright, okay, I get a little no, it's doing better than many English people. So we
and maybe I can connect it to the other question, then you will choose what to answer, how to answer to me.
From a clear place? Anyway, go.
And the other one was about the attachment.
Yes.
That mainly this question about it's about everything, but mainly it rises up to me about relationships.
Yes.
That I a few years ago I lost my husband and I lost my child in a car accident, and after that I was in a big process of meditation and teachers and blah blah, and I thought that now okay I'm like I'm not attached to people, and I didn't want a relationship. And after a few years, this man came into my life, and we were together. And in this, and I thought that yes, I want him in my life, and I love him. But I know that if he will die, it also will be okay.
Yes.
And in this retreat, I realized that I'm very, 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 very afraid of it. And rise up to me this question about loving and no attachment, and how it goes together.
Yeah.
And then this question about choosing rise up to me again.
Yeah.
But all the time I was like in the place of no, I don't want another relationship, I don't want again. And like when I chose to be with him, I believe that this choice came from another place, from more clear place. Or now when I have a problem to choose where to live with him and da 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 da, I believe that maybe it was from those fears. That I didn't realize that I have those fears, and then I couldn't make this choice about living with him.
No, right.
So those questions are mixed
together. Yeah, yeah. No, it's clear and it's a very strong, very powerful expression of the dilemma and the language that can take place. So there is the terrible tragedy of losing your husband and your child in a road accident. Remember we talked about this. I heard about this, you know, from people, and hearing these stories. There are people in this room who have lost very close people in their lives through road accidents. So they listening now will know this situation very well. Sorry, that there are people in this room right now who have lost people who are very, very close to them in a road accident. And so sometimes the pain of that, the anguish, the sorrow, the sadness, and the feelings and the memory stay. And it's not surprising, as you point out, that the view, we could call it a choice or a view, arise, look, I'd just don't want to start a new relationship. I couldn't bear to go through all this all over again there. And some people do find it quite necessary, as you did, to step back from intimacy and relationship there, because it may be quite some time for some healing process, and we can't, in a way, choose the length of time, you could say. That some healing process has to take place. But as that takes place, in the length of time, the thought, or the choice, if you wish, which says, I don't want to start another relationship, that gets lower. Not because of time, but because of healing process. And as that healing process takes place, then the receptivity arises, and then for some, in this case, the man, he then enters into your life there, and you feel ready, the love is ready again, after the pain, to begin again. The thought will say, fine to use, I choose now to start a new relationship. I choose to be in a new relationship. The thought I choose, in a way, in another way, is saying, the love in you is ready. And that allows for that. With the taking of the risks and the steps that go with it. And the risk in love is loss. Every time. Once one engages, then there will be risk there. Because love and risk, they have a very close relationship there. And let me ask, with relationship, in connection with the love, is the fear, right now in your life, is the fear speaking and saying in such a way, I can't move in with this man because it would be more too risky?
No, it's not. It's like I'm making a lot of stories about don't want this place that he lives, and we have no choice other than live in this place that he lives, that I don't like the people that I make stories
all
on
right,
this.
All right.
And now I just realize that maybe it's just stories, and I actually don't want to meet this fear.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right. Maybe. So sometimes the attention of the love, which is the most powerful of all human experiences. It's a very powerful force in nature, in human nature, in animal nature too. So there, and when there is some unsteadiness, you know, unsure, not sure what to choose, not sure what to do, that movement inside will have to look for reasons. The mind has to find the explanation for the movement. So then it might go, oh, in this case, say, where he's living, and the place, and the people, etc. And as you point out, the story begins to be the shadow, in fact, over the love or over the risk. So since on the retreat you're seeing some stories around, what's the current sense and feeling?
Current?
Presently. Presently. More risk? Living separate? Less risk? What? Where are you with it currently? They may ask.
It's not. Like I don't really, when I think about it, I don't really feel the risk.
No, all right.
Like the risk that I experience now is only about the story that I have about this place that he is living.
Yes.
It's not about the fear that I will be with him and he die or he live.
No.
Those fears came up just in the last 2 days, actually.
All right.
It's first time that I met them.
Is that right?
And until now I didn't connect between those two things.
All right. So, Dharma is lifting up the carpet and seeing what's under the carpet. Do you understand the metaphor?
Yeah.
So part of the openness and the practice is, hopefully, where there is love, that if something such as fear is in there somewhere, it starts to stand out. We can choose to do things or not choose to do them, and we may not know it. We think it's a free choice coming from a clear place, which it can be, but it may be that the fear is deciding what you do.
Okay, but the question is,
I know the
if there is, like, there is this clear place that I can choose from it, and when that there is this clear place, how can I know that it's really the clear one and not another story of myself?
I get the point, or at least I think. If something is clear, there ain't no choice. Choice is for the unclear. If it's clear and there is love, there ain't no choice. One just moves. Whatever that might be. So, choice in the language is, well, I could do this or I could do that there. But clarity is free from that, really. So sometimes in our life, something touches very deeply and it moves us, and it's not an impulse, it's not a reaction, it's not neediness running after. It doesn't feel or seem like the lots of choices. It's something that one has to do. One has to do. And there's a certain authenticity about it. So Lilia and I were talking a little while ago, it was a small with Gautama, before awakening. Done all these practices, etc., with his dear friend, with two rather wonderful teachers that he loved and referred to. But that which he was inquiring and exploring, he knew there was something was missing, something just not there. And he had no choice, because of the authenticity, had to follow it through. And sometimes our life is like that. We just have to go with it. And that kind of presence or force or love in life doesn't seem to have Shalai or Shantan. That's, I think, what you're referring to. Afterwards, we might say to ourselves, the I might arise. The I says, oh, I chose to do this. Many things that we chose to do, we use the language of choice and decision after the event. The I says, oh, I chose. I decided. But sometimes the event took place, the movement happened, it wasn't about choice, it just moved, and then afterwards we say, I chose.
But this movement, isn't it like this clear place inside of us that chose?
I'm trying to be as flexible as possible. Clear place doesn't have I and choice in it. Clear place doesn't have I in it, doesn't have choice. The I, the chooser and the chosen means I could choose this, I could choose that. You know, the clear place is rather free from it. You just move. You just, we respond. You know, sometimes people will say, let's say there's been a drama, you know, whatever it might be. And sometimes the person sees it and they just act. It might be very quiet, timid, shy, nervous, indecisive kind of person. And something happens in life and there's something that moves them and they just act. And people watch and, wow, where did that come from? And even the person himself or herself is surprised. I didn't think I had it in me. And sometimes people's call and calling, that extraordinary force, moves them. It doesn't seem quite right to say, he chose to do that.
When
in
ask,
my language.
When
anyway.
We ask ourselves, who am I? When
who am
Ramana,
I? Yes.
Ramana Maharishi
yes,
was
he
to ask,
he does.
Who am I? So isn't it this I what you meant? Like this part
no,
that make those things to move? isn't it this will I?
the, oh dear. the difficulty in English compared with the Sanskrit and with Ramana, whose teachings I know as well as anybody else knows them anyway, that in the English we have the word I or self. This is myself, this is you, I am here, you are there. But in the Sanskrit one has quite different words with quite different significances, much more subtle, because the language is has much more depth to it than English does. So one word is ahamkara. I may have used this the other day. So ahamkara, aham, I, kara, mind. The ahamkara. So the asking who am I, quite often, even in everyday language, you say, who are you? And then you say, oh, I am Christopher. You know, clearly, I am not Christopher. Christopher is C-H-R. I am not. That's just a few letters strung together that my mother gave me. And then next question, favourite question, is what do you do? See, this is the ahamkara. Oh, what do I do? I teach meditation. I do the washing up. So there, sometimes. And so the I or the self gets defined. So Ramana's question, which is a powerful and beautiful question, is to ask, who am I? Who am I? To get past the idea I am a name and I am a form. To get past that. When you get past that, the who am I question will stop. Will stop. But in the Sanskrit, another language comes in. And that's where the change goes on. It's actually in the language. And when we get past I am Christopher, and I am a teacher, that's what I do. When we get past that which you're speaking of becomes more available, more accessible. And so sometimes the ahamkara was in the past an important one, and was wife and mother. That was the formation of who I am there. And of course, when that formation in one tragic incident in this vulnerability of life collapses, all of that collapses. And out of that, going through that, sometimes some of the deeper questions really start to arise in life. And it has been for some people the drama, the tragedy of the event, the totally unexpected situation which has triggered the question. And the Buddha, a complete crisis in his life at the age of 29, of Gautama, more precise. So from that, then the love begins to move, and it's moving you. And I would say, without that love, obviously, as the primary movement, the aspect of the choice is a very small player.
But then the attachments came back.
Ah, problem. Big problem. Is the attachment due to the love, due to the chooser, or due to other factors? I choose. For example, you could say, one could say, well, after the tragedy, the love is coming back, the being, you call it I, feels ready for the new relationship. Relationships are always a constant challenge, a constant exploration of the love. It's a precious and beautiful thing. If you give a lot of importance to the chooser, you say, well, I chose this man, I chose to, that we live separately, I chose that we live together, I chose. If you give a lot of importance, attachment to it, almost guaranteed, at some point, you will have conflict. The chooser will end up wondering, did I make the right choice? And maybe I shouldn't have moved in with him, maybe I should not have moved in with him, maybe it was too early, maybe there are two memories from the past, maybe blah 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 blah. So the chooser, and if there's a lot of grasping onto the chooser, it will generate, for sure, some uncertainty and doubt. Do you think it's wise to rely on the chooser? I mean, it was such an obvious question, you know, it was not really quite a fair question the way I phrased it, etc. So the chooser easily, you know, can regret the choice. Multiple, every relationship is multiple things going on. So grasping could be of the chooser, couldn't it? The choice. If you grasp after that. What will help you to, shall we say, hold very lightly the idea, I was clear and I chose to be with this man because I felt ready. What will help you to hold that clearly? Because you may end up regretting that so-called choice. So you need to hold that language of I chose in my, I was so clear, that language very lightly.
So you ask me what will happen.
What's your response? So you can hold the idea, I chose to give my love to this man. Hold that very, very lightly. I chose to live with him or I chose not to live with him. What will help you to hold it lightly?
Again.
I've told you through the back door. What's the best to trust in?
The best to trust in.
The best thing to trust in.
God.
I missed the word. What? Say again. What's the best to trust in?
God.
God. Not with Christopher. Trust in the love. Trust in the love. That's the force. You just trust in the love. Don't trust the chooser. It'll give you sleepless nights. You'll end up doing too many meditation retreats. The trust in the love. In the feeling, I mean, let's ask. Just from a slightly therapeutic view, does it feel like with the genuine anguish and the sorrow from the past, mm-hmm. yeah, that the deep feeling is mm-hmm. not perfectly, but kind of being at peace with the past. The genuine feeling is of being at peace with the past.
It's a question?
Yeah. Is there a deep, is there a genuine feeling? Not perfectly. It's a huge tragedy, but the genuine feeling of being at peace with the past.
Most of the time, yes.
Most of the time, yes.
When we are planning the wedding, not so much.
When you're planning the wedding.
But most of the time.
What happens? It's important because one wants to be as clear as possible, and clarity brings the love. And love and clarity has little in the way of shadows from the past. So the two of you are planning to get married?
Yeah.
And when are you going to get married?
At the end of July.
End of July. Not long. Nice. Yeah, good. And so you think about planning and family and parents and there. What's the unease? What arises when you think about the planning in relationship to the past?
A lot of tchusha lo nocha, uncomfortable going to his family, the family of my ex-husband.
Husband, there. What's the response from the family of your ex-husband? What are they?
I'm in a very close relationship with them. And
are you?
They are happy for me.
They're happy for you.
Crying also a lot.
Yeah.
Like we came to dinner at the house and they were crying, all of them, but also happy. Mm. All mixed together.
Yeah, of course, of course. And naturally, with your husband and the accident and the child, that their love for you would show and confirm it as the wish for you to be happy. Mm-hmm. Hmm? That would be their deepest wish, husband to the wife and the child to the mother. That would be the wish, and they see and sense, as it were, that you're happy, because they would not want you to feel depressed about the past, or feel guilty about getting married again, or even starting a family again. And of course, there will be from your husband's family, there will be tears, and it's an extraordinary thing, but as long as you are close to them, and they really sense and know that, and that they are really a very important part of your life, they would be also happy for you. It won't be easy, naturally, but they'd be very happy for you. And you'll get, tears and tears with all this. But most importantly, if you feel, does your partner, let me ask, does he feel, does it communicate to him that your love is really available to him, and you're mostly, you know, at peace with the past.
Mm.
Yeah? Because it's incredible. That love is very, very reassuring and would give him much comfort too. Yeah. So, trust in the love, and the chooser hold lightly, very lightly. No?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll have a couple of quiet minutes, and anyone, any gender. Anyone, anytime? Yes, please, whoever. Come. Yes, sir. With the recording.
I was want to inquire the this moment, present moment.
Yes. Shall I record it, or shall
okay.
I?
Okay.
Whichever. Okay. Yes. Inquire into the present moment. All right.
As I told you, I am dealing with a cancer disease.
Can you hear? Dealing with cancer disease.
And
yes.
I declare to myself that now after. 1.5 retreat or 1 retreat, I am able to live every moment in my life.
Yes.
As and not living not in the past and not in future. So
yes.
Not to be afraid from future because the memory of the past.
Mm.
And I live. I understand the. What is to live day by day?
Yes.
I understand what is to live hour by hour.
Mm-hmm.
But they, the wisdom people, they say that if you want to not to accept the things, not to be ignored or not ignorant, not to be to live through illusion.
Yes.
You must experience this moment,
yes.
This present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand what is the meaning of this present moment.
Mm.
I came from not from the right side of the map, from the spiritual, I came from the analytic side.
Yes.
So, in a, is a task like hearing the clock ticking.
Yes.
I hear this present tick, and it is the right now,
mm-hmm.
The present now. The tick before it was the past,
mm.
Which I call it past.
Yes, right.
And the tick that may come or may not come, will be the future.
Yes, right.
But they, the wisdom people, they say, in the present moment,
yeah,
they are the past, the future, and the present are now. And they say there is no time and space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, how I define this moment? How long is this moment? When this moment
right.
disappeared and became the past, or
yeah,
what is the meaning of living and experience this moment?
to put it extremely simply. It's the current spiritual ideology. Your question is a six star actually question. It's this view is a severely problematic view. Everything you say, I would ask myself exactly the same question. And so there is a view, I hear it enough. The view is there is only the present moment, everything is in the present moment, there is no past, there is no future, that is just a thought and an illusion. All that there is this moment, and this is eternal, this goes on forever, etc. This view and variations on that kind of view. It is to grasp, and I mean grasp, cling, hold onto the present moment, give it an extraordinary specialness, and the summary of the ideology is be here and now. This is it. That view. Yeah. And it's a common kind of view. And one or two books have been sold on this view. You know the title. But what's the concern? It's a very good question you are bringing up. So clearly, listening, you're not just accepting this. Mm. I mean, you're not just accepting it. Say a little bit more about the voice from these so-called wise people about that voice inside of you that has some rather concern, or I would call healthy doubt. Say a bit.
Maybe I live in illusion, and I don't realize this moment,
mm-hmm.
and I fall from time to time to places that I don't see the real picture or make a mismatch between the real time, this time, and the
yeah.
and thought.
So the position could be put out. The true reality is this moment, and we fall out of this moment. And we fall into fantasies and stories and the past and the future and daydreams and all stuff and depression and confusion. But
maybe it's also a story that I told to me, that I am living day by day and hour by hour. Maybe it's only a story.
It could be, but the point is with the story, in this, the one you describe, if it is giving support, if one has cancer, and for many people with the cancer, it means the future is clearly uncertain, in a way which it is for everybody, but when there is a sickness, it's more felt.
It's realized.
Yeah, when one's, you know, fairly healthy, it's not realized perhaps to the same degree. So, then there is a possibility of the cancer changing condition in all sorts of ways, and very easily the most common phenomena for the inner life is anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be the sleepless nights. Will it get worse? Will it get better? The going to the hospital, having the measurement, the radiation, the chemotherapy, and everything else that goes with it. So, in all of that, if your experience is, by taking it hour by hour, day by day, you feel more clear and with the situation, you can sleep better at night, you're more receptive to the day, and the anxiety level is going down, which is the clue, then the experience is there, and it can have a description to go with it. And the description is, hour by hour, day by day, this is helping to keep me steady and keep my appreciation of life. You don't have to throw out the description. But that, an unfolding view, hour by hour, day by day. You and me, I'm the same as you in here, are rather concerned about there is only this moment. And we have to, we are told, stay in this moment. What do you feel when you hear this view? Because it's said a lot. Not said by the Buddha.
After you said it, I say to live in this hour is also so good.
Is all what?
It's also good to live in this hour, not in...
Yeah, all right. Okay. So, could it be, you know, that quite often, I take the text for a moment here, Oded and I were speaking actually the other day about this, quite often two words of the Buddha is freely translated as be here and now. So sometimes be here and now. The Pali word, two words, is ditte dhamme. Dhamme is dharma, yeah, which means teachings, it means things, it means everything, heart, mind, body, thought, today, tomorrow, yesterday, everything is a dharma. So one word to cover everything, real and unreal, whatever, all is dharma. And ditte is view. What the sense that you get is the difference between be in the moment, because everything else is an illusion or unreal, be in the moment, and ditte dhamme, the view of what's arising, the view of the dharma of life, the view of the drama of life, the view of the hour, the view of the present, the view of the past. What's the difference between be in the moment and the view of the event? What's the difference for you between the two?
To be is one who is.
All right. Okay.
I must I must be to be right. in this moment.
I must be to be. Right. So, if I get it clear, because it's not so easy. So, it would seem to me, hearing your voice, it would almost seem like a pressure. I should be in the moment.
Yes.
I should know what the moment is. But I can't find it. The moment I get close to the ticking clock, that tick's gone.
Okay, yes. I live to a knife that cuts this moment from future to past.
Yeah, but I can't actually get hold of the damn moment, because as soon as I get close, it's gone and another one has come.
Yes.
So, since I can't grab and hold on to the moment...
This exists.
There...
Maybe I'm missing.
No.
not that you're missing it, but what's the difference between that and the view of? Ditte dame. The view of.
The view is not including me.
You can include you, because you're a dharma, I am a dharma. What's the difference between trying or having to be in the moment, which we can't seem to get hold of, and the view of?
What's the view is present, to be must some action or...
Yeah, but not necessarily. forget the present, because it's a little problematic here for a moment. Just... the sensor is just a view of. Let's say there is a view of you and I are sitting here. It's the view of. We're not concerned about being in the moment. This is the view of, and the view shows itself through what my eyes and ears reveal. And then you and I or others may have the attention, so to speak, goes to the past. So then I have a view of the past. I don't say it's an illusion, just say the past has given some influence to the present. The good lady who was just speaking to us a few moments ago, describing the past and the way that it influences the present and being at peace with the past. And then we may have some view with regard to the future. This evening, tomorrow, next week, with the uncertainties. Does the feeling of the view feel more relaxed than having to be in the moment?
Yes, it's a more the broad thing, a view.
Yeah, it's a more...
It includes many things, not only...
All right, good. Does life include many things?
Is life including many things?
Including many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the view is including many things, only a man who's giving us a reminder from over there, and there, then wouldn't it be healthier to have a view
than at this moment?
Then yeah.
Oh. Okay.
To me, just being in the moment sounds tight. Even though I love you.
It's words.
But since we're interested in liberation,
yes,
wouldn't it be valuable at times to know a liberation from being in the moment? Why do I don't want to be in the moment all the time. Why would I want to be in the moment?
Hey, it's a kind of speech.
Isn't it at times?
It's more important to be liberated, yes.
That we wish to turn our attention to the past.
Yes.
You know, we just say, we acknowledge, we call it the past. We wish to turn our attention to that. And in order to do that, I have to kind of forget this moment. And isn't it important that we have the freedom to forget the moment, and I can give my attention to the past.
Okay, it's more liberated, that I can choose to be in the present or the past or the future. It's more
liberating. All right.
Okay.
And all the Dharma is to find out what is more liberating. Oh, everything is to find out what is more liberating. Yeah. Every single time it is. Mm. And I don't want, for myself, nor anybody else, of course, to anybody to feel to have to be grasping onto something, including this moment. To relate to it. To show interest. Oh, nice. This is music to Christopher's ears.
Thank you.
thank you. Nice. So we'll have a couple of quiet minutes. I give it a little reflection. All of us are engaged in a rather remarkable unfolding rhythm of events, we could put it like that, unfolding situation. And our engagement and participation in it will generate all manner of questions, because as we heard so beautifully a few moments ago. And sometimes in life, in the world of the choice, things can arise for us which would be the absolute last choice we would ever make. As a parent, no parent would want to die before their son or their daughter. But life, in its movement, in its unfoldment, in the conditions of life, in the circumstances, doesn't always give us that privilege and that choice. And so sometimes in the world of events, even the most heartfelt and loving choices are swept away from us. This edge of unpredictability and uncertainty that we all live with day in and day out, day in and day out. And sometimes in the dramas of life, the terrors of life that can affect us in a whole variety of ways, it's not only that the feelings and the heart and spirit of oneself can be there can be a real impact upon, but because heart and mind is inseparable from the body, the impact can really affect all the cells of the body. And when you and I have been in some crisis situation, some on the edge situation, or whatever it might be about the past, about the present, or about the future. The human beings are incredibly vulnerable and kind of rather gentle creatures. The organism is very, very receptive. It picks up things very, very strongly. So when something happens which really shocks, it can have an impact through the whole organism. The whole organism, the heart, the feeling life can be bruised and wounded and hurt, and right deep into the cells. And may require from us in those kind of events quite a lot of patience for a kind of quiet healing process to take place. And it's not that necessarily that we're just living in regret or living in guilt or living in despair. Even when there is some degree of acceptance of change there, and we've come to understand the conditions that bring an event about, but still it can require, from my listening to people over the years, quite a lot of patience for the healing process there. And sometimes, as we know, in terrible pain, emotional pain, the words of another, a documentary, a film, a book, little similarity, whoa, the memory is back, the feelings are back, the tears are back there. So as I say, to repeat, that patience is required, and in the patience that's required, the renewal will come, and when the renewal will come, it's kind of getting one's life back in a certain kind of way. And with that, the heart begins to open and love begins to come. And sometimes the right person starts to enter into our life and his or her love begin to come as well. And there's a meeting place, a meeting point in all of that. And as I said two or three times by myself, I feel the love is important. It's okay to use the language of choice, but the difficulty, as I said, if one holds to that view that anything that we choose, it only takes a few conditions, some event, to start to think and make the judgment, I made the wrong choice. Hold to the choice carries with it the potential to say I made the wrong choice. But love is not really deeply about choice. It's about love. It's just about love. And we're trying to find the wisdom, the clarity to let love express itself there. And if we trust in that, there'd be less conflict about choice, because we trust in the love. And the chooser must be more quiet in the life, and the love must be to the max every time. Sometimes with the second inquiry that there is an appeal, there's a teachings and practices, and just in the last retreat that we had here, in a one-to-one, a person said to me, and I probably hear it on most retreats, oh, this practice is all about being in the moment. This is why I got white hair, because of hearing this viewpoint, etc. And it's been picked up. And sometimes people have just grabbed the headlines. Ram Dass has this lovely book's been going for 30 or 40 years, Be Here and Now, and there's lots of lovely Dharma. And then Eckhart Tolle has The Power of Now, you see, and there. And then the Hindu tradition would say Eternal Now. and invite into the world, say, just be now, there's no duality, now in the past, now in the future, just be now. And it can have an appeal, but as the good man asked, there's some unease inside. One's not fully, I don't quite, what does it mean to be in the moment there? And can I really be in every moment there? And people can say, till the holy cows come home, oh, past and future is in the moment. But it sure doesn't feel like it. It feels like my mind goes to the future, and my mind goes to the past, and when my mind goes to the past and goes to the future, it certainly feels like I'm not in the moment. No matter how many people keep telling me I'm in, everything's in the moment, it doesn't feel like it. And it doesn't feel like it, it makes me feel uncomfortable. It feels like a view, which is a pressure to be in the moment. And if I'm in the moment, I'm going, and the rest is an illusion, I'd end up schizophrenic, completely. Because I'm going into an illusion, then I'm back in the moment, and I'm back into an illusion. Blimey! You know, and then on the last morning of the retreat, film company is coming to make this this documentary for Israeli television on spiritual emergencies. They'll look at me and think I'm one of them. The teacher's having a complete breakdown of going into an illusion and coming out into the real and back into it. He doesn't know where he is or who he is. So I, rather than dismiss yesterday and dismiss tomorrow, there, to acknowledge consciousness moves, finds its expression towards the past. And I think that generally think it's a valuable thing of the Buddha. What is the view of it? What is the relationship to the past? Can the relationship have clarity and insight and wisdom and love and acceptance and being with or learning from? What is the relationship to the past? With regard to the future, which is full of uncertainties, we listen to the touching expression of it, full of uncertainties. Can I have a relationship which I give consideration to the future? Yet I'm extremely clear. The fact that I give considerationship to it doesn't mean that it will happen. I have to be extremely clear about it for all of us, because at some point we will all be in this position, at some point in our life. And if I have a clear relationship, and I'm not saying the past and future is an illusion, but it is a reference point there, of a clear relationship, it seems to leave us receptive and open to the unfoldment of the day. Not a pressure, be in the moment, but rather the unfoldment of the day. And there's a receptivity, because there's no pressure, to the sheer diversity of life. Life is extraordinarily free. And we want to share in that freedom. We want to participate in it. We want to be, as I said earlier, happily and easily free with what today brings us. And sometimes that drops from the consciousness, because there's a certain freedom at times just to look at what was, see what's important about that, give some attention to the future, see what's important, and just say, hey, this is all part of the unfolding. And therefore, no pressure in any direction. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for the inquiry, for coming up. Very touching.